Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
First of all, let's continue here in Nehemiah chapter 2. So Nehemiah has a conviction to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem because the city of God lied waste and his people were not able to and prevent it from honoring him. And so they knew that they had to fortify the city if they were going to return to worship and sacrifice and honoring God. And so they say in verse 17, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. And so word gets out of what they were called to do, and the enemies of God and the enemies of the people of God stood up, and they tried to discourage the children of God. And know that even in today, God has enemies and his people have enemies. We talked last week about how we can't live for the word of God, we can't live for the testimony of Jesus and the advancement of God's kingdom, and there not be a hatred or a persecution from the world. And so here, these enemies of God and the enemies to the people of God and the things of God tried to discourage them. And so these enemies, Sanballat included, in verse 19 of chapter 2 of Nehemiah, the word says, when they heard the vision, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? And you know, it's interesting that in the Old Testament throughout the New, the enemy has established a pattern of using the law of man to stop the word of God. That's nothing new. That's age old. Most of the stories we've read about in Sunday school are victories where men and women of God did what they were called to do. Faced the chastisement of man and the laws of men that were written simply because of the practice of faith, but God gave them great victory, like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, like Paul and Silas in Acts 16. We read these examples, and sadly, we look back at it, and we say, well, you know, back in the Bible days, you better know we're living in the Bible days. If you can't look at what's going on around us in this world and see that prophecy is being fulfilled, we are living in the Bible days. Would you just tell your neighbor that? We are living in the Bible days. I detest that statement when people say, oh, back in the Bible days. These are the Bible days. Revelation has not been fulfilled yet. We're still in the second or third chapter. There's a whole lot of Bible still to be fulfilled. So we're still in the Bible days, and Satan has not changed his method of trying to discourage the people of God from advancing the kingdom of God in the earth and even using people in authority to make the practice of our faith illegal. We see it all around us. So here in chapter 4, we see where Sanballat, this enemy to God and enemy to the people of God, tried to discourage Nehemiah and this remnant of people. And so the question was asked as he mocked the Jews in verse 2 of Nehemiah 4. The Bible says, he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, what do these little weak folk think they're doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Here's the point I want us to focus in on as we wrap up this series on the remnant. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Let's read that part out loud together. Ready? Read. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Will they revive the stones? Will they be able to gather the bricks and the rock out of the ash, out of the trash, out of the rubbish? Will they be able to salvage what once was and then revive it for use again? Now, I've been telling you in this series that the enemy wants us to focus on the losses in our life. That if he can get us to look at what we've lost, or just what's not in our life, to just focus on what we're missing and look at what we have no power over, either because the milk has been spilt or we didn't bring any home today. It's just not there. The enemy specializes in getting our attention on what's been lost or what we don't have. But what I've been trying to show you in the Word over the last 6 weeks is that the Lord always points our attention in His Word to what remains, not what has been lost. I can't do anything about what's left my life. I can't do anything about the people that are no longer in my life or the things that are no longer in my life. But God can use what remains. God can use the remnant of my life. The word remnant literally means what remains. And I know for many people this has been a year of loss, and we could go on and on about the things that we've experienced this year. But God will use what remains. And so if the enemy can't discourage us over what we don't have, he will try to mock what we do. And so here in Nehemiah chapter 4, he's saying what? All you got is some rock and some brick in the ash, in the rubbish of what once was. Do you think you're going to pull the rock and the brick out of the ash and out of the rubbish? Are you going to rebuild a wall from this big pile of trash? They were mocking the people of God that they were not able to, quote, revive the stones, to revive what once was, to revive what remained from what once was. Now, here's the thing. I want you to go to Isaiah 61. And I just want to encourage somebody today that God can bless what remains in your life. God is going to bless the remnant. And I've been telling you over the last few weeks that the bigger point of this message was that God is going to use a remnant people in these last days, that it may not be the majority. We may not be strong in number. We may not be strong in power. It may look like we are feeble, but that God is going to raise up a feeble people to the world, but yet he's going to do mighty things through those people that the world calls feeble. God specializes in blessing and anointing and working miracles through a remnant, and he's going to do the same through his remnant church in these last days, and I want to make up that number. Amen? Now, I want you to think real quickly about your life and what remains. I may be talking to somebody here today whose marriage is struggling, and it may not even be a remnant left of what you once had in your marriage, and you're thinking this marriage is over. The love is not what it was. The affection is not what it was. We've got so many issues that I'm just about to lose hope. Don't lose hope. Because God can raise up from the ashes what remains. And maybe somebody here today has got a child that's gone wayward, and you tried your best to put the Word of God in them, but now they're at an age where they're making decisions that are outside of the Word and will of God, and it's like you didn't teach them anything. Don't be discouraged. That Word is in them. They've not forgotten the things that you put in them, and all God needs is that little seed, that little Word that's still in them. I'm trying to encourage somebody today not to give up, not to cave in, not to quit. I want to encourage a pastor today that may have got up today and the pews look empty and it was only a few folk there, and you're thinking, man, nothing remains from what used to be 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I want to encourage that pastor not to give up, not to cave in, not to quit, that God can raise up from the ashes and still do a work in your life. Our best days do not have to be behind us. Hallelujah. Because the enemy specializes in mocking us and trying to discourage us, and that's what he did with Nehemiah. And so here in Isaiah chapter 61, I want to show you what God specializes in doing. Now, when you think about the remnant, as we wrap up this series, we're speaking of what remains. And most of the time, when you think about remnant, you're talking about crumbs. You're talking about scraps. You're talking about leftovers. You're talking about only the little bit that remains. But it's all God ever needed. And so, when they mocked Nehemiah, when Sanballat mocked Nehemiah and said, what? You're going to use these stones that are covered in ash? Are you going to revive these stones? Revive means, are they going to have purpose again? Are these stones going to be used for life again? And he's mocking Nehemiah at the thought that once it became rubbish and once it was covered in ash, that its best days were gone, and that God could not use those things again, that all he had was just a remnant. But I want to challenge you to ask that little boy, that little boy that we read about in Mark 6 and in John 6, the little lad that showed up to the big meeting that Jesus had with 5,000 men, not including women and children. And they got out there and Jesus had preached all day and they were hungry. And the disciples said, Lord, we don't have enough money to feed all these folk. And if we did, the journey's too far to Chick-fil-A. And besides that, it's Sunday and they're closed. And while they were looking at what they didn't have, Jesus asked the disciples, he said, what do you have? Don't tell me what you don't have. Tell me what you do have. God can only work with what I do have. He can't work with what I don't have, but he can work with what I do have. What remains? And so that little boy was called forward, and he gave his little lunch. The little boy gave a little lunch. Asked that little boy about his little lunch and what God could do with a little boy's little lunch when Jesus took his not enough and blessed it, and it was multiplied, and God worked a miracle, and 5,000 homes were fed by what a little boy had in his little lunch pail. You would know today that boy would testify that all God needs is a little bit. He doesn't need a whole lot. He just needs a little. He can work with what you got. He's still a God that works miracles over the what remains. Ask the woman in the Old Testament when there was a 3.5-year drought, and she's gathering some sticks. She's building a fire, and she's going to bake a cake. And she tells Elijah, she says, look, I'm about to bake a cake. This is the last bit of meal I have in my barrel. I'm going to bake this cake. It's the last meal we're going to eat, and me and my baby boy are going to die. And Elijah said, no, you're not. Don't even talk like that. Bring me that cake. And she took that remnant, and she gave it to the man of God, the prophet of God. And he blessed that barrel of meal, and he spoke a word over her that barrel of meal would never run out, that it would never waste until the Lord sent rain upon the earth. And the word tells us that her and her son and her family ate of that barrel of meal until the Lord sent rain upon the earth. If you were talking to that woman today, she would tell you, all you need is a little bit in the hand of God. God doesn't need a whole lot to be in your life. He just needs a little something to work with. Hallelujah. If you went to the woman who lost her husband after her husband got in big debt and the creditors came to her house to take away her children, and she cried unto Elisha, and she said, the creditors have come to take my children away because my husband left me in a debt, and now he's dead, and now I've lost it all. Elisha said, no, tell me, what do you have? Tell me, what do you have? She said, all I got is some oil. And the Lord spoke through Elisha and says, you know what? God's about to put a demand on oil, so you hold a garage sale and put oil out near the street, and everybody all of a sudden is going to need oil. And guess what? They came to her house. They bought her oil, and she gained enough money to pay off all her debt. That was all she had. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says, he that goes forth bearing precious seed, bottom of the barrel seed, all I got left seed, remnant seed, he that goes forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless, without a doubt, sure enough, come back rejoicing, bringing his harvest with him. God doesn't need your barrel to be filled to use you. God doesn't need everything to be in full inventory for him to use you. All he needs is a remnant. You might be here today and say, Pastor James, you just don't know my life. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be faithful to church. I used to serve the Lord. I've been out of his will. I've been out of the word. I've done some things I'm not proud of. Can God use me? The pure fact that you're in church today or even watching this telecast tells me there's still a little faith in you. There's still something in you. All is not lost. You still got Jesus in your heart. You've still got a memory of his word. You quit worrying about what's been lost and how long you've been out of the will of God. All God needs is that little bit that you still have, and he can raise up the remnant of faith in you and revive those stones and rebuild your life. That's the God that we serve. Now, why am I saying this? Are you in Isaiah 61 yet? I'm saying this because the body of Christ has got to be encouraged. I felt led of the Lord today to bring a word of encouragement to the people of God that our best days are not behind us. People are bad about looking at what's going on in the world and seeing all the division and all the deception and all the brokenness and COVID and all that comes with COVID and this and that and news media and social media. You got to learn to shut all that out and get into His Word and stand on His promises. This world is just filled with negativity and fear and bad news, and you can't just absorb all that. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I can't let this world set the narrative to my life. I've got to get in His Word and meditate in His Word day and night so I can be who He called me to be. Hallelujah. And so I'm trying to encourage somebody today. Quit looking at your life thinking your best days are behind you. And please stop thinking that the church's best days are behind us. Listen, Jesus is not coming back for some broken down church. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And our best days don't have to be behind us. Quit talking about the 80s and the 90s and oh, back in the day. No, we hadn't seen God's best yet. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, you know the world is changing. But Jesus hadn't. And God has not changed. Hallelujah. So stop acting like some little old whoop chihuahua and get up under that couch. All right, watch this in Isaiah 61. You get there, say amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings, glad tidings, good news, gospel unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of Jubilee, the day of God's favor and blessing, the day we're living in right now, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Watch verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, the people of God, the place of God, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Read that statement out loud. To give unto them beauty for ashes. God said, I'm anointed to give you beauty for your ashes. God will take what's covered in ash. God will take what's been destroyed and broken in my life and looks like it's over and that's the end. And God will say, wait a minute, you hadn't seen the sequel yet. It wasn't over with season one. It wasn't over with the first episode. It wasn't over with the first movie. You hadn't read the next chapter. There's another chapter. Yes, there's another chapter. And I need you to know that your life does not end with ashes, because He gives beauty for ashes. And that's what He says here. He says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise where there was the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. When God gives me beauty for ashes, He is glorified. When God turns my sorrow or my mourning into joy, He is glorified. When God takes my heaviness and gives me praise, He is glorified. Hallelujah. Verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities. See, we're about writing a city off. And God said, when my anointing comes on you, you're going to repair the waste cities. What was broken, what was wasted, what you thought was over, God said, I'll revive. Hallelujah. Because He's God. the desolations of many generations. God said it could be generational since it's been broken, but that doesn't mean I can't revive it. You might look back across your life or your family and say, man, there's a history of addiction. That doesn't mean God won't break it with you. You might say there's a history of divorce in my family. That doesn't mean God won't break it with you. God can take a generational cycle and stop it and reverse it for his glory. Why? If it's going to happen, why not happen to your generation? Why not let your children and your grandchildren and your children's children's children inherit the blessing of God that the Lord used you to change in your life, that it was you that took your family from ashes to beauty. It was you that changed that because you were submitted to the will and word of God. We don't have to just accept what always was. I'm tired of folk writing things off and writing people off. That's what they did to that's what Sanballat did to Nehemiah. He said, What? You're gonna use this rubbish? You're gonna somehow or another revive stones out of this rubbish? It's over, man. What are you gonna revive that? And Nehemiah said, well, you better watch it. Now there's a point I want to make here in verse 3. In verse 3, he says, to give them beauty for ashes. To give them beauty for ashes. If you would, turn with me to the New Testament. I want to go to the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. To give them beauty for ashes. Let me say this to you. When God gives us beauty for ashes, the ashes are as much of your story as the beauty. Let me say it again. When God gives you beauty for ashes, your ashes are as much a part of your story as the beauty. Now, we live in a day where we have so much exposure and so many are putting everything about their life all out there for the world to see, especially with social media. So, you know, when you look good, you post that. When you don't look good, you don't post that. How many pictures did you take for your profile picture before you chose one? When we got it together, we want the world to see. So you woke up, you know, in the morning and you got up early. You ain't done that in weeks, but you did this morning. You got up early to get in the Word and you got your coffee right there and you got the Word open. So what do? Man, I've done something I hadn't done in a while. Let me get this out there for everybody to see. Word time. Early morning devotion with Jesus. And you got to put that out there for the world to see. But you didn't put the day before with you on your pillow. Overslept. See, you're out with your wife and it's a special moment. Date night. There it goes. But you didn't put, you know, fight night. Am I right about it? So we like to put the beauty out there. We like to put the good hair day out there, perfect makeup day, perfect wardrobe day, looking clean day. That's what the world has programmed us, is that it's all about the beauty. It's all about the victory. It's all about the high times and the good days. But God is saying here in his word that your ashes have as much to do with your story as your beauty. And there are so many people in our lives that influence us that if we spent time with them, we would realize the beauty in their life that we admire likely came through some ash. That if you look back far enough, you'd find some stuff that was dug out of the trash. You would find some stuff that was some mess that God took the remnant of that and used it for what we see today. Few people actually dig deep enough in a person's testimony to find the ashes. Everything I in this ministry owned not too many years ago, everything me, James A. McManus personally, and Word of God Ministries owned could fit in a 5x8 Wells cargo trailer that this ministry still owns today. A little 5x8 trailer that I bought on credit. The Lord told me to go buy it, and I went and bought it from a guy, and it's a testimony all by itself how we got this trailer. But anyway, I got this trailer. And on Sundays, I would unload that trailer at LSU. And it had our sound system, a wooden pulpit that my uncle had built me, everything we needed to set up church, and everything was in that trailer. I had my clothes hanging in it. And we would unpack it on Sunday morning, do church with our 10 members, pack it back up. And on Wednesday, I would drive it down to Houston and held a Bible study there for our radio audience, unpack it, do Bible study, put everything back in the trailer, and haul it back to Shreveport. And then Dallas, I would drive over on Friday and meet our group in Dallas on Friday, and then circle back and be back here on Sunday. 5 years making that routine. Everything I in this ministry, I'm fitting a 5x8 trailer. That's the ashes. See, nobody sees that today. People will see where Word of God is today and just think that was always Word of God. No, that wasn't always Word of God. You might see me. This wasn't always me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Everybody got a story. You got a story. Somebody in here has got a testimony of what I'm seeing in you right now. It's not the old you. There's some stuff in our past that you might not believe. There's some stuff that God did in us, but you got to know that your ashes are as much of your story as your beauty. If that be true, why are we afraid of the ashes? Why are we afraid of bad years or bad days or bad weeks? God still brings beauty out of ashes. He's done it in you once. He'll do it in you again.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.